Welcome back to the Learn English Podcast, the podcast teaching English in context so you can learn naturally. This week's episode is a very special episode. It is our 1 year anniversary. That's right. A year ago today, I launched this podcast and it has grown way more than I thought it would. I just want to start by saying thank you to everyone who is listening right now. Thank you to those of you who have subscribed to the show or following the podcast. I want to really say that I appreciate your support and it means so much to me. I hope that this podcast has been a helpful resource for you while you're trying to learn English, and I'm really excited to keep making more episodes in the future. Because it is our 1 year anniversary, I wanted to share a little bit about my own language learning journey. Of course, English is my native language, so I haven't been studying English like you might be, but I have been trying to learn a language for a number of years. And I've had some success, I've had a lot of failures, I've made mistakes, and I really wanted to share that with you because I have learned some information. I have gotten better at knowing what resources to use while learning a language, and that's what I want to discuss with you today. What my language learning journey was like, what my mistakes were, how I've improved my language abilities, and how you can apply this information to your language journey. So, with that, let's begin. Now, before we begin, I just want to remind you that you can look in the description of this episode, of all of our previous episodes, and you'll find a vocabulary list of the words and phrases that I use during the episode. That way you can take these words, study them, and start using them in conversation yourself. And also, before we begin, I want to give a special shout out to my listeners who have been with me from the beginning. Thank you so much. And to my listeners in Vietnam. Vietnam is one of my top countries. Actually, it is the top country. The top two cities who have people who download this podcast are in Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi. So if you're in Vietnam, if you're one of those cities, please tell me how you found me. I don't know how. I don't know why I have so many people who are in Vietnam who listen to this show, but I'm incredibly grateful. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone who's listening. And I'm so excited. Now, a little bit about my own language learning journey. I've had a lot of frustrations, I've had a lot of growth, and I just want to share my language learning story so hopefully you won't repeat the same mistakes that I've made, and you can use the information that I've learned to improve your own language abilities. I have been trying to learn Spanish for over 20 years. I have been trying to learn it for the majority of my lifetime, and I'll be honest, my Spanish is still not great even after all this time. So I wanted to share with you some of the mistakes I've made and how I've been able to overcome some of the obstacles that are common when learning a language. So at the beginning, let's just say that when I started learning Spanish, I learned it in a traditional classroom. When I was in high school, and I've talked about high school before on the podcast, but if you're not sure, high school is around age 13 to 18, maybe for most students. It's a 4 year period. Some are a little bit younger, some are a little bit older when they start and end, but it's about that range. That period of time when you're in high school is when you take classes that are supposed to help you get ready to go to colleges, go to universities. And in the United States, most colleges and universities require 2 years of a language. Not all colleges and universities do, but if you want to go somewhere that's maybe a little bit more competitive, a place where people are applying to get in, a place that doesn't accept everyone, you usually need at least 2 years of a language. Because of that, I took 2 years of Spanish when I was in high school. In the United States, most people take Spanish. There's a lot of people who are of Latino and Hispanic origin in the United States, and especially where I am. I live in California, and in California, the population is actually majority Hispanic and Latino descent. Spanish is the second most common language that's spoken in the state of California. So there's a lot of people around me who speak that language. I wanted to learn Spanish because in my experience, I've had a lot of people come up to me and start speaking to me in Spanish because of the way I look. They think that I would know Spanish, and it was always kind of embarrassing to just stand there and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't understand you." And I wanted to be able to communicate with people. I really wanted to learn this language. So when I was taking these classes in high school, I was a straight A student. Now, in a previous episode, we talked about sayings and idioms that come from school. I will leave a little link so you can find that episode. But what a straight A student means is someone who's a really good student, someone who gets the best grades, the best marks in their class. And that was me. When I was in high school, I was a straight A student, and I got A's in my 2 years of my Spanish classes. You would think that that meant I was a really good Spanish student. And you would think that would mean I knew some of the language. However, after my 2 years of my Spanish classes, after 2 years of getting the top grades in my class, I really couldn't speak the language at all. The only sentence I could really say is, "What is the date today?" I still remember that phrase. That is one of the phrases that I remember from my Spanish classes, but that's it. And that's not really anything. That's not really anything that you can even put into conversation normally. How often do you ask someone what the date of is, what the date today is? So the problem with traditional classes, and I know a lot of you have experienced this. I've had a lot of students who say they studied English for multiple years in their schools. The problem is that they just don't teach you how to speak, and they really don't teach you how to understand someone who's speaking in a foreign language. When I was in my class, when I was taking Spanish in high school, we did a lot of verb conjugations. The teacher would say a verb, we would repeat after them. So I learned individual words, but I did not learn how to actually listen to those words and listen to vocabulary in context. There was almost no listening practice. And if you're trying to speak a language, one thing that I would say, probably my number one tip for people who are trying to learn a foreign language, whether it's English or any other language, is that you have to be able to understand someone when they are speaking to you. If you do not have basic comprehension, if you don't have listening comprehension skills, you will never have speaking skills. It's impossible. If you don't understand the language, how are you expected to even speak that language? And so that's my number one tip, is that if you're having problems speaking, if you feel like you're not able to use your language skills and put them into an actual conversation, listen more. Listen as much as you possibly can. The more your brain gets adapted to the language, the better you're going to be when you are speaking it yourself. So after my 2 years of high school classes, I still really wanted to learn Spanish. I felt like I couldn't even introduce myself. If I met someone and I wanted to introduce myself, I would have really struggled at that time. Even though I spent 2 years studying Spanish, I really had no skills with the language, and I wanted to. I really didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to learn a language. I had no context of how to learn a language outside of reading a textbook and going to a class. What happened was that there was a lot of advertisements for a software program called Rosetta Stone. You might have heard of it. They do a lot of language learning software. And at the time, it wasn't a subscription, it was an actual CD that you would put on your computer and you'd have this program on your computer. And it was pretty expensive, but I bought it because I thought maybe it would help me. Maybe that would really help me get fluent in the language. So I bought the program, I put it on my computer, and I don't remember now because it's been a very, very long time. Like I said, probably around 2008 is when I did this. So I put it on my computer, and I remember that there were multiple levels. There was multiple units, and you would work through it. Now, I don't know if you've tried Rosetta Stone, and I don't know if Rosetta Stone has changed since I used it, because it has been a long time. However, the program that I got, it showed you pictures and then it showed you the word. So it was almost like a visual flashcard in a way. And then it would make a sentence with those words and ask you to try to fill in the blanks in the sentence. That was interesting. That was very different from my classes that I had been taking. That was very different from the classes I had taken in high school. So I thought, you know, maybe this will actually work. And I remember I took a couple of the units. At the end of the unit, it would have this test that you had to pass before you could move on to the next unit, and you had to get a certain score. And I remember I did the first couple tests, the first couple sections, and I did pretty well. I felt like I was learning something. But one part about Rosetta Stone is that there is no grammar, at least at the time, there was no grammar explanation. It was pictures, it was words, it was fill in the blank sentences, but there was no grammar explanation. So the thinking was that your brain would just naturally pick it up. And I remember I got to one unit pretty early on in the levels, a pretty low level unit exam, and I couldn't pass it. There was words in there and I could not figure out what the pattern is. I could not figure out what the fill in the blank part was. It was on the articles in front of words and I just didn't understand and I couldn't pass it. And I remember I tried multiple times. I couldn't figure out what the correct answer was and I gave up. And so I had spent all this money on this program. I maybe did 20% of it, maybe. And then that was it. I gave up. And again, I don't know if Rosetta Stone is still like that. I haven't tried the software in 15 years, but that was one of the things that I really did not like about it. There was no explanation. There was no help. There was no way that I could really figure out what was going on. And it was just not good for me personally. I'm not a big person of studying grammar books and reading all of the grammar rules, but just a little bit of an explanation, a sentence or two would have helped me so much. Now, after my experience with Rosetta Stone, I still wanted to learn a language. And I would say around 2012-ish, I found Duolingo. So I downloaded Duolingo on my phone. Again, I saw the advertisements on TV. Oh my goodness, I guess I'm really influenced by advertising, but I saw the advertisements. I thought, hey, let's try this one. Let's see if this works. It looks like it's fun. It looks like a game. And so I downloaded Duolingo. Now, at the time, again, this is a decade ago, more than a decade ago, Duolingo was a tree. I know the system has changed by now. I know that they do updates all the time. So the program I did, of course, is different from what it looks like now. But at the time, I did Duolingo, the tree version. I would say about Duolingo, no matter what version you're using, is that it is fun. It is very short lessons. So I didn't really dive in. As we would say, if you don't know that phrase or that saying, dive in means to really give your full attention to something, to spend a lot of time and to get really involved with something. I didn't dive in. I would do Duolingo on and off, a few minutes here, a few minutes there, maybe 20 minutes total the entire month. That's not really anything to learn a language. So, my third piece of advice, my third mistake that I did that I would say don't do is that you shouldn't be so cavalier with your time. Ooh, cavalier. Now that's a really high-level word. So to be cavalier with something means that you just don't take it seriously. You're very relaxed. And so to have a very cavalier attitude means to not really take something seriously and not fully commit to it, to not dive in to it. So I would say that if you are serious about learning a language, you need to commit and you need to have a certain amount of time, at least 20 minutes a day, to studying that language. You're not going to get anywhere by spending a few minutes on Duolingo once a week to try to learn a language. I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. You might have been told that in advertisements. I know programs will say, oh, 15 minutes on this and you'll be fluent. No, you're not. Okay. The more time that you can spend, I would say at least 20 minutes, but ideally an hour. If you really want to push, if you really want to learn a language, the more time that you can commit, the better. If you just want to do it for fun, if you just want to play a game, yes, Duolingo is perfect for that, but you're not going to use that to get fluent. I don't think it's a great resource. I would not use it again personally, but if you have nothing else, really, if you just want to, it's fine. It's fine. The problem that I have with Duolingo is that even though the lessons are short, there's so many ads. There's so much wasted time because you're watching some stupid ad after you do a lesson. And then the hearts that they have. So if you run out of a heart, you have to stop using it for a while until it regenerates, or at least it was that way when I used it. Again, it's been a while. It felt like it was really pushing you to buy the full paid version, and I don't think it's worth it to buy the full paid version. I think if you're going to spend money, there's so many more resources that you could use that Duolingo just, there's no place for it. Personally, that's what I think. I just don't think it's worth it. Now, I will say when I was doing Duolingo a lot more. I did get into a period where I was really trying to work on my tree. That was around 2019, 2018, 2019. I really started using Duolingo for about 3 months. During those 3 months, I learned more than I did in 2 years of my classes in high school. So if you really do push into a language, if you really do dive in, if you commit, you can get a lot out of even not using great resources. Like Duolingo, like I said, I don't think it's a great resource, but I used it a lot. I use it consistently for about 3 months, and I learned more in that time period than I did in 2 years. And I was able to learn about some grammar because they did have little few sentences about grammar. It wasn't a lot, it was a few sentences, but it really helped and it helped explain what was going on in the lesson, and that made it really easy. So in that regard, I did like Duolingo for that because that did help me. Now, once I got past using Duolingo, once I got a little bit frustrated with the app, I really wanted to start learning the language better. It was 2019 at this time. There was a lot more information out there. There's a lot more resources. So I started Googling, like you do, like anyone does, how to learn a language, how to learn Spanish. And I found a lot of YouTube videos. I found a lot of blogs. And that's when I found Ollie Richards, Steven Krashen, and Steve Kaufman. I have talked about them so much on this channel. The first episode talks about them, their philosophy for how to learn a language. But again, that's really what I started to read about. That's what I started to use. And I started to find out more and more about the input hypothesis, how to learn a language by using input, listening, reading, finding content you like, and learning from that. And that is really how I improved my Spanish. During that time, I decided to invest some more money in trying to learn Spanish. And one of the things that I used was Ollie Richards' Uncovered program. I think it was really helpful. It was a beginner's program to help you get from beginner to low intermediate. So, if you're looking at the Common European Framework for Language Learning, it was an A1 to an A2 range. And that's where I was at the time. I had very little knowledge of Spanish. And so, I did use that program. I thought it was very helpful. If you're trying to learn a language, you might want to consider it. I'm not an affiliate. I'm not getting paid for anything for that. But what I would say is that the program is really expensive. He does have them on sale in November. Black Friday is when he has the sale on his Uncovered program, and they're like 60% off. So if you're interested in them, use that time to buy it. Don't buy it during the year because they're very expensive, and I actually don't think it's worth it for the full price. But for a discounted price, yes, it was a great resource. I also wanted to speak the language more, so I got on italki, and I will leave a link to italki below if you're interested in that. That's a platform that I use. That's where I teach. I teach on italki. I've been teaching that there for 3 years. I didn't start by teaching there. I actually started as a student on there. So I started as a student about 5 years ago, and I was using it for 2 years as a student before I transitioned to be a teacher. I would say that I made another mistake here at this point. So, this is my next piece of advice for you. My next ideas, my next thinking on this is that don't take lessons when you're at a really low level. If you are just beginning, I honestly do not think that lessons in a classroom, lessons with a tutor one-on-one are a good idea. I just don't. So the problem with that is that when the teacher would talk in Spanish to me and try to explain something, I had no clue what he was saying. And so he'd have to transition into English. And so the lesson just became like a half hour talk in English with a few Spanish words, which again was like my high school experience. And that, yes, I learned. I learned some things. I did learn some vocabulary. I did try to get through a sentence. I did learn how to introduce myself fully. He helped correct me, so at least I could say some basic things, but it wasn't worth it. If you are taking a class where the majority of the time you are speaking in your native language, it's a waste of your money. Do not take a class until you can at least get to the point where you can introduce yourself, talk about your hobbies, talk about why you're interested in learning the language, what your goals are. Until you are at that level, there's really no point for you to practice. I know there's some people who say speak from day one. Yes, you can speak to from day one, but don't waste your money on a class because you're not getting as much out of it as you could if you could actually understand the person. During this time period, when I was finally starting to use input, when I was finally starting to get better with my knowledge and understanding of Spanish, I started using Link. Link is the program that Steve Kaufman created and runs. Link is the program that he uses to help him with language learning. And I will leave a link below. It is an affiliate link, so you know, but I will leave a link below. It is what I use. I use Link every single day. And I would say that this is my favorite program to use. So, one of my last pieces of advice is that when you are trying to learn a language, when you are really serious, when you're really committed, and you want to start studying for a half hour, an hour a day, you need to track your data. I actually teach high school science, I teach high school chemistry. So I like data. I like having numbers behind what I'm doing and when I'm making decisions. And the thing that I like about Link is that it allows you to study a language and it tracks everything for you. It tracks how many words you read, how much time you spend. It tells you all of the information about how many words you know, how many words you are exposed to but don't know yet. It gives you the ability to do flashcards with the words that you don't know. It's just a really great app. Now, I will say the free version of Link is not that helpful. I wish it was a little bit better. If you do the free version, you won't see all of the benefits because it's very, very limited. And that's the version I started with. I saw someone talk about Link, and so I got the free version, and it wasn't that great. I didn't know how to use it. And so I actually didn't use it for about a year until I came back to it and I paid for the full version. And that's when I realized how helpful it is. So, again, in the future, we don't have time in this episode, but I will talk about Link. I'll talk about how you can use it and how I use it. But the nice part about Link is that you can import any content you want into there. Anything that you're using to study a language, you can put it into the Link app. So you can take Netflix shows, you can take YouTube videos like this podcast, you can take journal articles, newspaper articles, books. If you buy a book, you can put that into Link, and then you can read or listen or watch that material through the Link app. And when you do that, it tracks again the words, the phrases, the time that you're spending on it. It tracks everything for you. And that's really, really helpful. It's really helpful for me because I can see how I'm doing and how I'm growing. And I can also see how my vocabulary is changing over time, how I'm learning new words, how many words I'm being exposed to. When I get discouraged, when I start feeling like I'm not learning as much as possible, or I'm not making any progress, or I'm getting stuck with where I'm at, I can look at that and really just see my progress, see how much time I have spent with Spanish and how much better I have gotten over time. So, where I am now with my language journey, I would say that I'm probably upper intermediate. I listen to native level podcasts with Spanish. I listen to Spanish news is easy. I can listen to Spanish news podcasts, but I listen to podcasts about movie reviews, TV show reviews, about historical things, and I can understand it. I really enjoy listening to Spanish content. I don't have a problem when it's newscast people or professional podcast people. I do have a problem when it's people on the street, when it's YouTube videos of native people speaking to each other, because that is a lot faster. They're not speaking as slowly. They're not saying their words very clearly all the time. Of course, you get like that when you're with your friends, but that I still have a problem with. I still do struggle with some parts of Spanish. There's some parts of the language that it just is, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to get good at. And so I have problems with some parts, but I feel like overall, compared to where I was, where I couldn't even introduce myself, to now where I can listen to native level podcasts, it's just crazy. Like the difference is so much. It's so great. The difference between those two is just such a huge, huge difference. And I know that I've gotten better with my language learning ability. I'm not fluent. I'm not a native speaker. I don't think I'll ever sound like a native speaker, but I've gotten a lot better and I'm really proud of that. And that's my last piece of advice to you is that you need to be grateful for where you are. Sometimes it's so easy to beat ourselves up, right? It's so easy to get discouraged, to compare ourselves to other people, to think that we should be doing better. And, everyone's journey is different, but no matter where you are, You've made progress, right? If you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to me right now and you're understanding what I'm saying, you have a very good understanding of English. I have used some very high level words. Of course, I do that on purpose because I'm trying to push your vocabulary. I'm trying to help you get exposed to how a native person speaks in a way that is still understandable for someone who's at an intermediate level. But you have a very good understanding if you can understand me. And you know, that's a great accomplishment. Not everyone can understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of people out there who are not at that level. And I know if you are at this level that you spend a lot of time studying this language, that you have put a lot of work in, and you should be proud of yourself for that. I hope that this video gave you some insights into my learning journey. Maybe you've made the same mistakes that I have. If you haven't, I hope you don't. I hope this gave you some information so you can avoid some of the traps that I've fallen into, some of the mistakes I've made along the way, and hopefully give you some information about things you can do, some things that you can take with you, and you can apply it to your own language learning journey. If this podcast is helping you, if it's helping you learn English, if it's helping you improve your vocabulary, please leave a rating on whatever app you are listening to this podcast on. Leave a comment if you're watching on YouTube. Share it, show, send it to a friend, send it to someone who is learning English. Tell them how it is helping you with your English abilities. Thank you, everyone who has helped us so far. This show has grown so much over the past year, way more than I ever could have thought it would have. I never would have thought we would have gotten 100,000 downloads in the first year. That is beyond what I ever expected. I really just made this podcast for my students who I was teaching English online to, for them to use as a resource. So everyone else who has joined along the way has just been an extra bonus. And I'm so grateful for you. Like I said, I'm so grateful. I'm so glad you're here. And thank you. Hopefully, we will do even more episodes next year. Hopefully, in this coming year, we'll do some more great content so you can keep learning English. And I'm really looking forward to where this podcast goes in the future. A reminder to follow us on social media at Learn English Pod. The website is learnenglishpod.com. And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on our next episode when it comes out next week. Until then, keep learning English.